So, yeah, hi, everybody. Hi, Caddy, and hi, whoever else is going to show up. We're going to go over some material today. I'm going to do some mindset work up front. Mindset. If we're going to just review what I have up on the screen here and talk about what moves money into the bank account the fastest thing is to have sales conversations, is to ask people for money and to ask for sales conversations, ask people to talk about your business with you. And, of course, it makes sense if you're going to talk to people that the biggest asset you have would be connections, and the best way to build connections would be to build relationships. Now, yeah, that's great and all very well and good, but you can't do any of that if you're not in a good place.
Right. Agreed. You
know? Agreed. Right? So these mindset exercises now are designed to help you ascertain what is going on for yourself right now and what you can do to help shift what might not be working. So, the first thing I would like you to do is just purge your problems. All right? I'm going to give you 2 minutes. You know, it sounds like a lot, but 2 minutes is actually a long time. 2 minutes to just write down in list form every problem you have. Okay? Starting now. Okay, about 25 seconds. Okay. Now, the next part of this exercise is to take each of those problems and turn it into a question, because a problem, when we are problem-focused, obviously, it's very hard to come up with a solution. So, to the corresponding problem that you see on your piece of paper, I want you to turn it into a question. And usually the question will start with the word how. All right, as in my dog pees all over my house. That's the problem.
Right.
And so I might say, how can I get my dog to stop peeing all over the house? That changes the energy, and it gets me to pay attention to how I can solve the problem, right? I can get doggy diapers. I can hire a dog walker to get him out more often. I can, you know, I can start to come up with solutions. So I'm going to give you another 2 minutes to take each of those problems and, oh, golly, I'm getting a text from someone that's very distracting. Sorry, folks. I take each of those problems and turn it into a question. All right? And the question, actually, let's make it a rule. The question should start with the word how. All right? Starting now.
This is already very much.
I'm just going to mute you. I'm glad it's helpful, but hold on a minute. Got another minute. About 15 seconds. Okay. Excellent. All right, Katie, you were starting to say something. What was it?
I just said it's already very helpful just getting...
Yeah.
I kind of started turning them into questions. They weren't just an overriding list of.
Well, yes, because
large,
you're doing
scary
it.
Things. I can't even think of how to start one of them, and then just by going, how do I get Callie and Yoda a new pair?
Well, that's right, because you know, we're in a neutral space, time and place at this moment, and so yeah, this is not time we ordinarily give ourselves. Right.
Right.
So taking the time to do this exercise is giving yourself a gift, which leads me to the next part of the exercise, because now those are questions you can revisit and start to brainstorm around, and we might have time to do some of that later. But giving yourself a gift has to do with what I want to try next. And you inspired me, Katie, when you talked about what you need being compassion. But the problem is, again, looking on the outside for what you need, I want you to take a minute to list all the ways in which you already are or could be showing compassion to yourself. And I want you to take a minute for that. Starting now. Okay. Now, the next thing I'd like you to do is take a look at that list and just put a little check mark next to the things that you're currently actually doing for yourself. A check mark next to the different ways in which you're actually being compassionate towards yourself. So just, that's like a quickie. That's 15 seconds. Just take a few seconds to do that right now. Okay, so I don't know how many you checked or unchecked or didn't check, but Caddy, I want to check in at this point. What did you notice from doing that?
Yeah, it was difficult to come up with ways I'm currently being compassionate, and before you said to make a check mark, I didn't even have one to could be.
Okay, so do you have any ways in which you can be compassionate towards yourself?
Yeah, I added one in.
Good, what is it?
To give less of my schedule to other people, let them take care of themselves.
Okay, so if they're, that's great. Now, folks at home, if you're doing this exercise, that's what I, that, if you come up with one thing and you're not already doing it, that's perfect. No problem, because probably the one thing you come up with is your core issue.
The thing you need.
Right. So, Caddy, that's the one habit, the one thing I challenge you to undertake.
Yes.
And somehow remember that it is how you are expressing compassion to yourself, because that's where it starts. If there's no compassion for the self, you're not even going to notice when you get it from someone else. It'll
right.
be very hard to, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's the one thing you need to work on.
Agreed.
Okay, let's keep it simple. So I think Katarina just joined the conversation. Hi, Katarina.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly.
Me too.
Okay, I'm sitting in my car.
Hi, Rati, I have made it. I see that chat. No, thank you. Yes, here you are. So, we just did a couple little mindset exercises. You can go back and hear at the beginning of the recording. But what I want to do now is jump in to the content. And this week's content is how to use partnerships to generate new leads and fill your pipeline. All right? So, in other words, ongoing partnerships. Whether or not you have a project going on or you have work going on, just having it be that system that you have in place to connect with various people, whether they're referral partners or people you're doing a project with, but always watering the plant of that relationship on a regular basis is what will always, is one of the things anyway, that is always going to keep opportunity in your pipeline, in the pipeline, if you'll pardon the expression, in your pipeline. Put it in your pipeline. So I talked about the mindset piece, and we went through a couple exercises because, like I said to Caddy earlier, you cannot do these things unless you feel grounded and centered and good. So mindset is everything. All right, you can't move money into your bank account by having sales conversations if you aren't in a good place. You have to take care of yourself and show self-compassion. But let's say you're doing all that. Exerting influence in meeting referral partnerships. Okay, we're going to focus on what a referral partnership is, first of all. Partnership, it could be individuals, organizations, corporations. And it doesn't happen overnight. Again, you're watering the garden, and it's just a seed. You have to have face-to-face meetings. You know, I can think you can start out with what I call a creative coffee over the phone for 20 minutes, but just learn what's going on in their business, what's going on in yours. It's also trial and error, like dating. You know, you're sorting through people that are able to help you and those who are not. Okay, so trial and error. It's a good idea to make a list of everybody you can think of who's a possible referral partner. And, of course, partner infers that you're both in something together and you're both getting something out of it. So it could be that you are also generating referrals for them, or that you have some kind of a referral partnership agreement. I think the one I heard about, my favorite one ever, was in the New York Times, and there was an artist who did paintings and drawings of really high-class escorts. And he would pay them a commission to get their, you know, they were, you know, the people they were the mistresses of, you know, their rich clients. He would give the, these escorts a commission when their clients would purchase the painting, right? I don't know, not a concubine, but what is the term I'm looking for? Everybody chime in here.
Consort.
Lovely. A consort. What is the, a what?
Consort.
Oh, we're breaking up here. Oh, aphasia, I can't stand it when I can't come up with words. But, you know, it's an old profession. It's not, I think prostitution denigrates it. But, you know, women who know how to be the companion of a man and not necessarily married to them in exchange for, not a concubine. No, it's got a different a different connotation. But we digress and I'm babbling. Anyway, I loved that. That was a referral partnership. They would sell his paintings for him to their clients, and they got a commission. So that's one example. Another referral partnership is you're getting, maybe you have complementary professions, and you can get referrals for business for each other. Okay? Where am I on this piece of paper? So partnerships are a good way to build your business if your target market is not at networking events or large group gatherings, right? Which I find is often the case because, you know, when I go to a networking event, everybody's there looking for work. I find that's where I run into people who I might create an event with or who I might, if I get to know them and trust them, refer people to for business, right? Partnerships are great if you don't have a lot of time, right? You don't have a lot of time to go out and socialize and go to networking events, so you can really target people. You can reach out to total strangers. If you see somebody is doing something in the world and you have something to offer them and they have something to offer you, that's, you know, create a partnership there. If you'd like more exposure, you want to, you know, for instance, a referral partner could definitely be a corporate entity of some kind. Maybe it's a value add for their clients, right, or for their employees, what it is that you do. You know, that again is a matter of building a relationship. So, yeah, myths about partnerships. You have to be popular to have them. No, like I just was saying, you have to consciously create them. And another myth, if you reach out and they say no, then you can't reach out ever again. No. People have lives. They're busy. Don't think behind people's backs. They don't like me. They don't want to hear from me. You don't know. Everybody's busy. You're doing them a favor. You have something. Remember, you don't underestimate the value of your own offering, what it is that you're bringing to the world. You have to try again, especially as you grow, because over time you may have something you didn't when you first contacted them that they could be very interested in. All right? Another myth, you have to wait until you have something to promote to start building a relationship. No. Just have a meeting a week. Just have one meeting a week with a different person every week. That's fine. You know? And when a flame catches, you may start meeting more often because you'll be into something. You have to have an amazing website and presence to reach out to big corporations. No. It's 6 degrees of separation. You have to work your contacts, the people you know, and just be persistent. The brainstorming can be around what sorts of corporations, what sorts of businesses, what sorts of organizations would my service or my product resonate with, okay? And that's something not just to brainstorm by yourself sitting in a room, but with your accountability partner or with your friends. Another one, this is one that stops people a lot, myself included. You have to be able to reciprocate in order to receive someone's help. That's very paralyzing. First of all, again, there are a lot of ways to reciprocate, and you don't know what's going on in another person's life. And usually, you know, the karmically correct thing is to ask, you know. And not everybody needs direct reciprocation. There is that thing of paying it forward. Maybe somebody got help from someone, and they never had anything that they had to give back, and they're going to do a good turn for someone else, right? So don't even fixate on what you have to reciprocate. You have to pay lots of money to referral partners, okay? Pay or give what you feel really good about, right? And that has to mean that, you know, I don't know why this jumps to mind. If you have a kid, I always say, if you're going to come up with a consequence for your kid, make sure it doesn't inconvenience you, right? Well, if you do that one more time, we're not going on vacation next month. You know, that's insane. You have to be sure that what you can actually deliver. Maybe it's a beautiful thank you note. I don't know, you know. Maybe you're going to take them out to dinner. Maybe it's $50. It doesn't have to be 10% of the sale, all right? There really aren't any rules there. Partnership basics. Okay, now I skipped a little ahead in the beginning, but we're going to talk about now the differences between referral partners and JV partners and corporate partners. Here are some distinctions. Referral partners, you don't have an online list. They give you their referrals by word of mouth. It's really rather casual referral partnerships. They're great for creating ways to work together that are in person. So those are more or less referral partnerships. Joint ventures, you have an online list between you. Preferably they have a bigger one than you do. They're active with that list. They're sending out newsletters, right? In that instance, they're going to be really helpful for you because they're going to put you in front of their people. If you can collaborate with them, for instance, on a teleseminar or a webinar, you can also come up with other creative ways to work together. For instance, I'm doing an event next week with a lawyer and a marketing and branding person, and we're helping each other with all of our respective lists, right? So we are doing a joint venture. Now, joint ventures take time. They usually need a lot of lead time. You know, we've been in conversation about this for, you know, several months. Now it's happening. Corporate partners, all right. Now, corporate partnerships can be referral or they can be joint ventures. And they're usually bigger organizations where they usually have a human relations department, okay? They have a PR team or they have someone in charge of PR within the organization, okay? So that's I consider that corporate. Golden nugget approach. So in other words, you want to go for the bullseye rather than the space around it. Interesting. Now again, I'm kind of borrowing from my coach, so I'm learning as I go along here also by reviewing this material. So pros, easier to find more people in your target market. Often these people have purchased this service before and will be equivalent, will be willing to purchase from you. Ah, frustrating because not every partner is a good partner. The golden nugget approach. You know, I'm having a little bit of confusion and wishing that I read this ahead earlier, because I'll be honest with you, I'm not really sure what this is about here in my notes. Does anybody have any thoughts on this?
Well, that guy I worked with for 5 years who had did a lot of online marketing, selling of products. He would, so if somebody bought health, weight loss book from him, the weight loss supplement company would basically want to partner with him because they already know they're buying things that are weight loss oriented. The target market.
So getting really, really specific about the connection is the golden nugget approach. And I can see how that would be a slower process.
Like because, for me as a professional organizer, wouldn't be a real estate agent who could then get me staging jobs would be something
right.
Like
that. So that's
their target market
extremely specific. That's extremely specific, which is why it goes beyond a joint venture partner or a referral partner. Whereas the people I'm working with, you know, this branding expert and this lawyer, I mean, yeah, maybe there'll be someone I refer them to, but I don't know that they specifically have a product or, you know, that my clients can necessarily use what they have to offer.
Right.
So instead, we're doing something together. But if there was a specific exchange, you know what? You know, for instance, affiliate programs. That's sort of a golden nugget approach. You find people who can actually sell for you, right? And you get, and they get a percentage. That's very, very specific. But I think it takes. You have to really be very aggressive about it and very specific about it.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're going to go through a lot of people who don't want to play. All right. I think focusing on referral and joint venture is the easier way to go. So here's a strategy for starting to cultivate partnerships. Who are other people in professions who work with my target market? Like Hattie just said, real estate agents. They're buying and selling spaces, right? Or they're showing spaces. They're helping people sell their spaces, and they're helping other people buy spaces. And so the showcasing of the space is of tantamount importance, and ergo, that enter Caddy, right? So that's a good profession. There are probably other professions that work with your target market, if you were to brainstorm a little bit around that. Who are people, professions, organizations that have referred people to you in the past? Always good to keep in touch with them, right? Keep that relationship watered, right?
Mm.
What are some companies that do campaigns or initiatives that could include your target clients? That's very interesting because then that's sort of how do you, what could you present to them that could help them grow, right? What's something, you know, for instance, I could go to colleges and say, you know, I am an ADHD coach, and you have students who are struggling here. I would be willing to offer my services to the students at a discount, right, if you send them to me. Because it's better for the college if people graduate.
Right.
Right. So that's what I'm talking about, very specific. Who are people of influence that already know your target market? Preachers, socialites, community leaders, folks of that nature. I think the best thing there is very often to let them know what you're doing. Not to necessarily ask for anything, but just letting them know, for instance, I know people who are very famous, and they have their, a lot of people are trying to get stuff from them, right? So the best thing I can do is keep them in the loop and don't keep a secret about what it is that you're doing or what you have available, because in their travels, out of sight, out of mind, you, an opportunity may present itself where you're a resource, okay, and you can make it easier for them to help someone, all right? You know, I think with influential people, unless you're really tight, it's really a kid glove approach, all right? Does anybody have any questions around that?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes people get very excited, and other coaches, this is something that drives me nuts, when other coaches get really excited and say, oh, well, why don't you find somebody who knows Meryl Streep and see if you can get her to, blah, 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 blah. No, that's fucking, that makes me really crazy, because those people are in another stratosphere, right? If you have a direct relationship, and you can, just let them know, like a real regular person, what you're up to and not ask for anything.
Right.
That's your best bet. All right. It used to drive me nuts when people, you say, I know, you need an agent.
Oh, my God. Thank
you, no man. Shit, yeah, no shit, Sherlock. Yeah, you know, you gotta finesse if you know an agent or you know someone who knows an agent, or, you know, get to know the agent as a human being, maybe, and if you're lucky, right, don't even talk about your career with them, maybe, and then if you're lucky, eventually. So remember that partners can be organizations such as gyms, spas, real estate companies, thank you, Caddy. They could be chiropractors. They could be psychiatrists, psychologists. I am slowly cultivating relationships with psychologists because psychologists are beginning to realize that they're not coaches. And so it can be very helpful when a person is referred to me because, you know, they've worked through all of their issues. They have to start creating a system for themselves. CPR, creativity, persistence, and resourcefulness, right? That's what it takes every day. So, based on the questions above, you want to start making lists of the people who could help you. For instance, who could be partners. For instance, a women's health specialist would make a list with gynecologists. Her list would include gynecologists, doctors, other coaches. Believe it or not, people have problems that are not within my purview, and, you know, they want to lose weight or whatever, and I'm going to recommend them to a nutritionist, you know, or something. Therapists, psychotherapists, wellness centers, clinics, authors who write women's health books. These are very intriguing possible partnerships. Women's, you can go on and on and on here. For an interior designer who designs high-end homes, actually, Caddy, I mean, who knows? Some of these would do work for you, real estate agents, real estate companies. Charity auctions, that's interesting. High-end gyms, that's where people with the money are hanging out. Who knows? Country clubs, companies, all right, clothing designers. You get the idea here. So actually, yeah, I would say as an assignment, take maybe 5 minutes a day to sit down and add to this list of possible partners. And don't be afraid to put down organizers or artists, because the fact is, very often people, we think of our colleagues as being in competition with us, when actually people who buy one thing usually buy more than one of it. So actually people who we perceive as being in competition with us are very often good referral partners or good people who are actually better yet, they're good joint venture partners, because you can pool your resources in terms of contacts in creating an event. All right. So spend 5 minutes a day and start to work on those lists. All right. Let me see what else we have here, because we don't have all that much time left. Find partners and set up meetings with them. Yes. So you got your list. Now you got to pull the trigger. You got to pull the trigger. Reach out to your list of friends. family, past clients. And here we have a little script. As many of you know, I have a fill-in-the-blank, and then she tells right up front what's the problem she solves. I have a women's health business where I help women overcome menstrual and fertility issues. Right away, what is the problem you solve? I would really like to get to know as many women as possible to connect and help them. This is actually also a really good letter for even a famous person because you're talking about what it is you want to offer to the world. All right? You wouldn't even necessarily mention this half part, this second part to someone who's like renowned, or if you did, you would do it in a very easy breezy way. But is there a women's osteopathist? You ask for the, you, this is the ask here, okay? Another thing is just get out of your house. Get out of your house, walk around the neighborhood, introduce yourself, right? I do this all the time at coffee shops because they are really great partners for me as a creativity coach. Coffee shops are the poor man's co-working space.
Right.
Maybe I should be going to more co-working spaces, but I find that coffee shops and I get along better. For instance, I just found my next space to do my intensive at the coffee shop that just opened around the corner. All right? I help scattered creative entrepreneurs pull together and make more money. And I think some of my clients might profit from your services. Here I'm thinking a yoga studio because people go there to become less scattered, right? So I'm wondering if I could schedule a meeting with your manager so I can learn more about what you do, right? A script for a restaurant. I was thinking of you, Katarina, when I wrote this. Hi, I'm an artist. I noticed you exhibit a lot of different artists, photographers, and I think my work would really go well in this space. Would it be possible to speak with whomever curates the exhibits? Place around the corner next to me, I'm going to definitely send artists over there because they have these, and I know they intend to do this eventually, but for the time being, they have these big, stark, huge, blank walls. A lot of real estate there to hang things on, right? And sell things off of. All right, now you want to get really specific with your personal list, with the people you know and love, and you can just ask them anything in the world. Who do you know that's a doctor? Who do you know that works out at a gym? Who do you know that works at a company you may have thought of? And talk to that good friend specifically about how they can help you and you can help them. Use your social media network. We can continue and I can go through this, but it's all here for you to read. And we have a few minutes left, so I just want to check in first before we continue and see if anybody has any questions or thoughts that have, specifically questions that about how you can go about starting to do this that have come up for you. Specifics are great. Specifics to your situation. Otherwise, I'll just keep babbling.
Yeah, I personally don't have a question about it. It's a matter of acting.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I don't have
a walk around. That's cool. So we talked about getting personal with your list. Use your social media network. People are often wondering how to do that. We talk about social media a lot. So this is where you're going to really start to use LinkedIn. For me, it's counterintuitive to go to LinkedIn, but it's often because I draw a blank on why. But what you need to do is really investigate what other people are doing. LinkedIn makes it really easy to do that, right? That information is laid out. Yeah.
Well,
go ahead, Katarina.
I've never, you know, I know that people connect with me on LinkedIn, but I've never really had any action on LinkedIn.
Do you spend any time looking at what people do?
Yeah, I guess I really haven't spent a lot of time on it. I mean,
Well, that's what it means to use it to generate.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm on there. I've got a profile, but I don't really look at it.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
See, and you can, and if you see somebody interesting too, you can connect with that specific person. I think for free they will allow you to do that to a certain number of in-mails or whatever. You can ask to for a connection to another. Also, if you know somebody and you see someone in their network, you need to get to know who other people have in their networks, because they could have somebody who's like dead in the middle of your ideal client profile.
Right.
And you know, you need to ask for an introduction.
Right.
Right? That's how you use it. You know, we generate action on these social networks. It doesn't just combust spontaneously. It doesn't happen.
Oh.
I know. It's so disappointing.
Exactly.
Right? I know. It so sucks. That's what I mean when I tell people, I do the coaching, you do the work.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, oh, right. So thank you for that. Thank you. So put up a post on LinkedIn or Facebook looking for A and see who responds. I've gotten reactions. I've gotten responses to that. Yeah. So you can do that on either.
Looking for a free ride, right?
Yeah, that's it. Looking for a free ride. Looking for restaurants that may want, or looking for gallery owners who, or looking for...
Yeah, I'm not going in any restaurants, I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I know. I had a feeling that was a little, you were a little beyond that point, and that also the nature of your work is such as more of an installation artist, that it wasn't right, but I think it would be fascinating for us, Katerina, and you're due to schedule a session with me, to brainstorm about potential partners. So that you have a blank to fill in there, looking for such and such.
That's good. Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
So for joint venture partners, these people, they're usually hanging out at networking events, or they're in classes that you take. All right. Often they're in classes where an online model is being taught. Actually, the membership of this club ebbs and flows, but, I mean, there's potential for joint ventures within this very group.
Yeah.
Right? Joint venture people are also people who participate in summits and giveaways, like charity auctions. Summits. I don't have a lot of familiarity there with those, but summits are these online events that happen over a series of several days or a full day with a number of different speakers. If the nature of your business, educational marketing, I think, with your personality, is a good way to go. You might consider doing a summit where you're doing an informational webinar about organizing, right? That's a place to look for partners. And they also do these ventures with others. So you want to make sure you're on a newsletter, on your colleagues' newsletters in your field, and see who they're partnering with, okay? Interesting. These newsletters should go to a separate mailbox. I'm not sure what that's about. I'm not sure if that's about being circumspect or if that's, I'm not sure what that's about. So, you want to subscribe to people's newsletters and actually read them. That's all I would say, and I'm sorry I didn't edit that out because it doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense to me. Basically, we all get all of these newsletters, and mostly we just get sick of them.
Yeah.
Look at them. Take the time. Maybe designate a time to peruse them, especially for events that the person is doing, because there could be a connection there. It might be actually worth going to it, right? And then meet with people. And it doesn't have to be in person. And I stress this because... you just don't have the energy or the time, you know? You want to make sure that you're going to schedule like things with like things. Like now, I have my meeting days are mostly on Fridays. If I'm going to meet people in the city, because I already have an appointment in the city, I piggyback things. You got to be protective of your time and energy. And that's why I never initially, or I've really slowed down, unless somebody's really of interest and they really insist, I don't meet people in person initially. I have a Skype session with them, right? And if there's a spark, okay, then we're going to get together in person. Go to them. If it's a company, talk to someone who's already working there. Actually, these are good things to do before. I've skipped ahead to meeting before the meeting, all right? Do your research, basically. That's what these steps boil down to. Do your research and have some ideas. Don't just sit across them from them and say, what do you think we should do? Be prepared to drive the conversation. And the best way to be prepared to drive the conversation is to have done your homework on who they are and have some ideas for them, as well as ideas for how they can help you. Because everybody is so preoccupied now, as we all know. When you're there, especially if it's somebody who you barely know, or maybe somebody set up a date, a blind date of sorts with the person, I don't know, you want to tell them your signature story. This is something we worked on a little bit, but it's important to have a signature story about why you do what you do. Okay, with a point of view. You know, for me, it's I work with creative entrepreneurs who are scattered, and so their businesses turn more into hobbies than becoming full-fledged careers. And so I realized this because I used to be an actor. And the only way I got anywhere was by creating support groups around myself. And I realized I was very good at this and decided that I'd rather do that for a day job than be a restaurant hostess. And so this is what I do. I help people create structures. And I think that, and I help people clarify and strategize what they need to do. And that's why I think, you know, it would be great for us to get together. And that's what I do. And I think that maybe your clients who come for relaxation techniques might also be interested in what I do. And tell them, you can tell them the results you've had with clients, tell them about the successes, and then invite them to do the same. All right, so think about it. What's your signature story? Okay, listen to the story. Take notes on what they're saying. Okay, because you're going to get ideas. Now, there may not be a match. There may not be. They could be a match in the future, perhaps. But don't, you know, be honest about it with yourself. Maybe nothing springs to mind instantly. You just like the person. So you just ask, can I keep you in the loop with the things I'm doing? Can I, you know, can I send you some updates once in a while? That's basically getting permission to put them on your mailing list. You keep them in the loop, and then maybe you pick up the phone every once in a while and check in with them, or maybe you don't. I don't know. Or maybe you both get excited about doing something together. Just be prepared for the fact that not everybody's going to be a good fit, because the only way to do this consistently is to have people not work out. If you meet somebody and it doesn't work out and that's the criteria for continuing to do this, you won't. So just know that you have a right to determine, is there a match? Okay? You want to see what's going on with them, buddy, buddy, yada, yada, find out what's coming up for them. Be very, you know, if it feels right, tell them what's going up for you and what you'd like their specific support on. People do like to help, I find, but they also like paint by numbers. They like to be told very specifically how it is you want them to help you. I mean, you know, lately I've been trying to get people to give me testimonials, and I know that I've done a good job for them, but it's like pulling teeth. And so what I've started to do is offer a free gift. I say to them, okay, I'm going to give you a free gift. I have an MP3, a meditation around busting up procrastination. If you're willing to get on a Skype session with me and let me record it, and I just interview you about what you got out of working with me, and if you then allow me to transcribe it, and I'll let you okay it to use, and then I'll send you a free gift. I mean, I'm having to go to that. I'm having to make it that easy for people. Okay? It seems like, oh, fuck, you know, I shouldn't have to work. Yeah, you have to work that hard. sometimes just making that offer makes people feel guilty enough to send you a referral. That happened to me just yesterday with someone. They thought, oh, shit, this woman's really going out of her way. He sent me a referral. Yeah, I mean, he sent me a testimonial. All right? So really think that you're dealing with a five-year-old. How can I really make it easy for this person? All right? Give your idea of how you think you could work together. Share your insights about their clients and employees and what they need and how you could provide it, all right? And have a good time together. Celebrate the ideas that you've come up with together, all right? So initially, obviously, it seems obvious, but I'm going to say it anyway, decide. No, actually, I'm misreading this, not deciding how and where you're going to meet, but when you're at a meeting, decide what you're going to create. Decide what the dates for the meetings are. For instance, now, this is when you're up and running, okay? Like with my JV partners, to create the event that's coming up next week, we had regular meeting times every week. We had deadlines that we created for each other about creating copy, right? And then, of course, naturally, we had a date and a deadline for the event, right? You have to be very specific and walk away with actions at the end of every JV meeting once you have someone who you're collaborating with, all right? All right, determine follow-ups, next steps. Don't leave the meeting without scheduling your next meeting. Never, ever, 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 because that's how things peter out. It's always good to give a summary at the end of the meeting, what you're going to do and what they're going to do. And follow up with a written email that summarizes all the steps and agreements. Let me think back. Did we do that? No, we just put it in our calendar. I mean, that's getting really anal. That's getting really anal. But, you know, hey, it can't hurt. But I'll tell you one thing. We all put things in our calendars. We kept a Google document that we shared. Basically, that's what this is. That was our version of this. We have a Google document that said that where we kept track of what everybody offered to do and what everybody said. All right? Ongoing partnerships with no concrete steps. Just create a good check-in time in the future. Easy breezy. Keep it light. Find out what they like and take notes on that. Just be sly. People love it when you remember nice things about them. Okay? And keep a little ongoing stay-in-touch campaign, right? Maybe you just remember their birthday and send them a card on their birthday. That's a part of a stay-in-touch campaign, all right? I'm terrible at that sort of shit. I started getting good at it when I realized there was something in it for me. We're all so fucking selfish, okay? So use it. Greed is good. You know, if you're selfish, use it. What's in it for me? If you're not doing something, you got to ask yourself, what's in it for me? All right? If I'm not doing it, I don't get what's in it for me. All right? So, it's actually getting a little late, and I have an appointment in a few minutes. So, you can go over this stuff on your own, the rest of the material on your own. As you can see, there's quite a bit of it. And I'm going to revisit this whole thing because it bears repeating in a future meeting. But before closing, does anybody have anything they want to share or ask?
Well, good.
No, I just wanted to share that I think that this is exactly what I needed today. It's got my mind in the right place, and then to look forward in a more expansive way to promote myself, or
yeah,
not just focus on realtors and doing staging.
No. Absolutely. This is meant to break it open, to break your mind open a little
bit. That's what I said.
Broaden the horizons, folks.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes, this
beautiful.
Is good. Thank you.
You're so welcome, darling. And again, you know, I'm doing my own little joint venture thing, so I look forward to seeing you both there next Thursday night if you can humanly possibly make it. And that goes for everybody out in the listening audience, February 23rd. I've already sent you an email about it. Creative Business Owners Unite, a forum to connect and learn. Great. So I'll see you all next week, same time, same place. All righty. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'll email you.